This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 211, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Dissensions. The spiritual appetizer that we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, dissensions. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 6, and let's read verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter which sin we're committing. We cannot allow it to reign over our lives. Once we understand that we are sinning, we have to repent. We have to turn back to God. We have to put away the sin that is in our lives. We can't obey its lusts. We have to be used as an instrument of righteousness to God, not as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. Therefore, we cannot let sin have dominion over our lives. And today we're going to be talking about the sin of dissensions and how we cannot allow this to take precedence over our life. God has called us to be unified in his word. In John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so we have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart from the world by the word of God. And the only way that we can do this is to put away the sins that have entrapped us, that have ensnared us, the sins that we obey in our lives. Let's look at the sin of dissensions in our lives today and how this applies to us. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, and let's read verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." Notice God says in Proverbs chapter 6 that there are six things that he hates, and seven are an abomination to him. The seventh one, the one that he calls an abomination before him, is one who sows discord among brethren. And so he goes even further to say, this goes beyond hate with me. This is an abomination to me. And that's what dissensions are. That is sowing discord among brethren. It's causing strife and fights within the brotherhood over things that we don't need to be having strife and fights over. God hates these six things. And the seventh one is an abomination to him. If we are causing discord amongst the brethren, if we are causing dissensions among the brethren, then God is saying, look, we don't need that in the church today. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contentions." And so a man that is strifeful stirs it up, stirs the pot continuously. And this is the one that God says, I don't like this in the brotherhood. A person that stirs the pot continuously causes all different kinds of problems within the church. And we simply do not need that type of person within the church. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contentions. If we will simply be slow to anger, there are so many problems that we can fix within the church before a split takes place, before people leave, before people go to find somewhere else to worship and no longer come to be with us within the church. This is one of the reasons why God hates a man who sows discord amongst the brethren. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. We can allow problems and things that are within the church to tear us apart, or we can go to God's word and we can reason within it, and we can allow God's word to strengthen us. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Come, let us reason together." Even when we have disagreements, there's a proper way to have a disagreement. We can look at God's word. We can see what God's word has to say. And we can mold and shape our lives around it. If you have a stance on a certain issue, another person has a stance on a certain issue, we are to come together and we are to reason through the scriptures to see which one is right. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A perverse man wants his way, and he's going to do anything that he can to get his way, even if it causes problems within the church. And a man of God does not do that. A man of God is not going to sow strife just for sowing strife's purpose. He's not going to separate friends. He's not going to separate brothers within the church just because he has a different point of view on something. He's going to say the truth is more important than my point of view. And so let's find the truth on the matter. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to give up my point of view for what the truth has to say. That's what repentance is all about. Repentance is turning away from something that you are doing in order to follow what God wants in your life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yea, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul said, "I've crucified myself." In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, he told the church at Galatia that being crucified or being baptized was crucifying your flesh with your passion and desires. Our passion and desires often cause us to sow strife. Well, I like it this way, or I like it this way. My opinion is this, and my opinion is that. But God says when we're baptized, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to God, we crucify our passion and desires in order to allow God to live in our lives, in order to allow Christ to make the decisions for our life. Going back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yea, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so my ideas have been crucified so that Jesus can live in my life. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so Jesus is supposed to replace our mind. When we're crucified, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, it's no longer us that lives. It's supposed to be Christ living in us. And so if I find that my life is not matching up with what the Word of God says, then I'm going to change it. I'm going to allow Christ to mold me and shape me into what he wants me to be instead of arguing for my point of view. Well, I'm right. I can't possibly be wrong. You see, that's causing dissension among the brotherhood. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11, we're going to find something that dissension is not. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we're looking to the Word of God, and the Word of God says something, we're going to use, for example, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Judge not lest you be judged." And so a lot of the world today when they're called out for doing something that's not scriptural, or they're called out for living in a sinful way, they go running to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 and say, don't judge. You can't judge me. When we rebuke as we're told to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, when that takes place, the person that's being rebuked often will say, well, that's just your opinion. And they'll accuse you of causing dissension or accuse you of being a troublemaker in the church. And really, that's what dissension is about, is being a troublemaker within the church. But one that is using the word of God to rebuke appropriately is not a troublemaker. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When someone speaks as the oracles of God, they take the word of God and they use it to rebuke in someone's life. Say someone is a drunkard, someone's smoking cigarettes, someone is living in a way that God does not approve of, and they're rebuked by the word of God. That's not sowing dissension. That's trying to bring someone back to God. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To say that the person that is trying to bring someone back to God is being decisive and causing division within the church is much to say the same thing that Jonah was causing division amongst the church when he went to Nineveh and preached to them that they had to repent. They had to change their ways and come back to God. You see, that's not dissension. That's unity. That's preaching true biblical unity founded upon God's word. Remember John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, in that same chapter, Jesus prays for oneness in verse 11. But the oneness that he prays for is the same as he has, that Jesus has with the Father. Let them be one as I and the Father are one. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. And he says, because of this, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. Well, that's how he was one with the Father. It's because he always did those things that were pleasing to him. When someone tries to return you to God, return you to what God wants you to be when you've fallen away, that's not causing dissensions. That is trying to reunite you as one with Christ. But oftentimes the world doesn't recognize that. Well, you're trying to judge me. You're the one that's causing the problems here. I left the church because I didn't like you. Well, that's a wrong attitude to begin with. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Dissensions. Dissensions is causing problems within the church for no good reason. Just causing strife for strife's sake. Taking your own opinion, not founded in God's word, and then causing division based upon that opinion. That's dissensions. That is not proper biblical unity that God wants us to have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 13. And we're going to see the type of unity that God wants us to have within the church and how he prays, Paul prays that they be perfectly joined together. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Remember Jesus' prayer, John chapter 17, verse 11? That they be united, they be one as him and the Father are one. Speak the same thing. Have the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's house, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? when we divide ourselves much the same as the denominational world has done today. Matter of fact, the word denomination means a part of a whole. That's why within a dollar, you have four quarters. Each quarter is a denomination within that dollar. That's not the way the church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be divided. We are supposed to be perfectly united. When we divide ourselves after other names other than Christ, and even when we say we're of Christ, but we're not obeying him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many wondrous things in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, even using the name of Christ, but not doing it in his way is causing division. It's only when we are accept God's will and his word and how he wants us to live that we can be perfectly united. Notice verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Speak what? What Jesus taught us, what his apostles taught us, and that there be no divisions among you. Don't be divided over the word of God. You can't change it. You cannot make it say what you want it to say. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Not even an angel from heaven can change it. We have to be united in his word, but be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's what he wants. Anything short of that is dissensions in the church, and it is not right. That's what was taking place here in Corinth. And Paul would tell them over and over, you've got to change this. You've got to stop being childish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they were being carnal. They were being worldly. They were being babes in Christ. They needed to grow up. And church, when we are causing dissensions in the church, we need to grow up. Stop it. Stop putting our opinions above the word of God. Live the way that he wants us to live and change when we need to change and accept the fact when we're wrong. Because we're going to be wrong. Sometimes we're going to be wrong and we're going to need to say, okay, look, I understand this. I see your point. You're right. God's word is always right. And when we know that, we change instead of causing strife and problems within the church that causes dissensions and the church splits and falls apart. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, dissensions. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.